Praise the Lord. God bless everybody who's coming into this building today. Lord, we lift up the people who are yet to be here, and we ask that you would open their ears to hear, open their eyes to see. Put people in these seats today, Lord, that need this message, that we are all co-workers in the gospel, co-laborers, that there is work to be done, and we're the ones to do it. And so, Lord, as we go forward with the service today, we ask that you would fill the seats with people who need your message. And also, Lord, we ask for your blessing on all the food that's being prepared, that everybody who comes here would be nourished both in body and in soul. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Okay. Well, we're recording. Praise the Lord. I didn't forget. You know, we're connected with Gary here. We're connected there. We're going to be recording so we can share with everybody in the whole world. You know, we have people that listen to the sermons online. Spain, the United Kingdom, we all over the United States. We've had thousands. We've had more people listen to the sermons online since they've been on than we've had in the congregation. I mean, a lot more. Thousands of people. I started tallying up. I said, wow, you know, we got a pretty big congregation. Oh, praise God. All right. So, anyway, we've a story to tell to the nations, just like we sang. Oh, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? We're going to pray for God's blessing on his word. Father, please change us with your word today. Please make us into fully committed servants. Help us to be all that you want us to be, Lord. Enable us to be faithful believers. Enable us to be those who share your good news. Help us to honor and obey you no matter what. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, the Bible gives us an interesting description of believers. Yeah. We are called co-workers with God. Now, I know most or maybe all of the adults in this room have worked, and you've had co-workers. And some have been good co-workers, and some have been not so good co-workers. Right, John? Oh, my. Yeah. I've had a lot of good co-workers, and I've had a lot of bad co-workers, okay? You got co-workers that dump all the work on the other workers, and you got co-workers that jump in and do what needs to be done. And for the gospel, we are all to be those who jump in and do what needs to be done. That's what the Bible shows us. And it's very clear, it is unmistakable, that we are co-laborers with God. We're co-laborers. You know, it seems like an appropriate topic to cover since we are about to celebrate the very last holiday of this summer. Labor Day. Labor Day. Everybody closes their pool and they roast hot dogs and marshmallows and make s'mores and all that kind of stuff. Labor Day, right? But, you know, this message here ties right in with our current series, The Servants of God. The Servants of God. This is the 11th part in this series of messages. The rest are out on the counter out there if you want to get caught up, if you haven't had them. They're in CD form, DVD, no, CD, yeah, not DVD, CD. And you can take one of each of those, take them home, listen to them. When you're done with them, you can share them with somebody else, or you can bring them back and get some more, and, you know, we'll just keep it going that way. Our sermons are also online at sermonaudio.com. You can search St. John's Reformed Church, or you can search my name, and you can listen there. We labor for God, but we also labor with God. And there's a distinction there. We are to collect those souls that he bought and paid for. And sometimes it is tough work. Sometimes you can get hurt. Sometimes you can get arrested, maybe even killed. We've seen these things throughout this series. Remember Stephen, killed for his faith. Remember Paul, stoned, thought to be dead, tossed out of town, and arrested Peter and others. Think about that. That's the picture of the authentic church of Jesus Christ built on the foundation of Christ. You know, when I think about Labor Day, it's to be a time of rest, right? I mean, it was started by the United States Department of Labor. Actually, the first Labor Day was held in 1882 in New York City. It was started by the some central labor union or something. They wanted to celebrate the workers. And the U.S. Department of Labor started the modern holiday. They're a social agency for those who work, and those who want to work, and those who used to work. As God prepared me for this message, he took me through many avenues of study and preparation. And at the time, as it was happening, I didn't even realize it. I did not realize that all of the things that God was putting me through had to do with this message until he brought me the message. And then it all clicked. It all came together. It made sense why I saw this, why I interacted with somebody like this. I had interactions with people that I'd never met before. And some of those interactions were very interesting. And it helped me to see. There was one young man who I asked, have you ever done hard labor? Have you ever done hard work? Oh, yeah, he said, I worked on a farm. We've worked hard. And I thought, well, I know what it is to work on a farm. I've tossed hay. I've baled hay. Not baled it. I've been the guy that's tossed it. That's work. But as God took me through the preparations for this message, he showed me some things, and some of those are going to show up in the message. I learned about the most dangerous jobs in these United States. The most dangerous jobs. According to the United States Department of Labor, that same one has started Labor Day, okay, the official Labor Day, the most dangerous job in this country is logging workers. Logging. Very dangerous. People get killed logging. And the next one is fishers. You know, like on the big boats out in the ocean, you know, getting whatever, crabs or whatever, they collect fish and such. And then aircraft pilots and their staff. Very dangerous. And number five is roofers. Number five is roofers. Roofers get killed roofing. All right? Very dangerous. Garbage collectors, recyclables, you know, the way we pick up the garbage and the recycle things. Those guys, dangerous work. Iron and steel workers. Drivers, those who just drive for a living. Sales workers, truck drivers, farmers, ranchers, and other agricultural managers, people who work on farms, very dangerous work. Well, you know, think about that, because we don't hear about them. You know, we hear about certain groups of our population, oh, it's dangerous to be a such and such, or it's dangerous to be a so and so, but we don't hear about these ones that are the most dangerous. It's dangerous to be working on electrical power lines, installing or repairing. Number nine in the list. Number 10 is taxi drivers and chauffeurs. And then you've got police as number 15 and firefighters are number 18. All very dangerous work. All of us have some knowledge of what it means to labor. Most of the men listening either have worked hard or are working hard, or they know what it is to work hard physically. They've labored, even as a boss or an overseer. They've labored. They've worked. We have worked, I should say. And many women work long, hard hours. And many have, or are continuing to, and some in physically or mentally demanding jobs. We know what it is to labor. I'm no stranger. I'm no stranger to physically and mentally demanding work. It builds strength. It builds character. Everybody can benefit from learning to work, to labor. Okay? Thank God that we have such a thing to teach us. I thank God, and I thank my dad, who taught me how to work. He worked into his late 70s. And even though I was disabled for a time, and seriously disabled, still suffering from that, unable to do the things that I once was able to do, I've enjoyed laboring. A simple definition of labor is the services performed by workers for pay. And it's distinguished from that that's rendered by entrepreneurs for profits. It's not labor. Investing money isn't labor. The whole bank cartel that happens in our country, it's not labor. It's not a production. It's not something that's happening in a very real and physical sense. The first known use of the word labor was in the 14th century. Before that, the word wasn't even known, wasn't used. And bringing children into the world is also called labor, especially that part from the first uterine contraction to delivery. Labor. In Genesis 35 and verse 16, we hear Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Okay, any women that have a child here, you know what I'm talking about when I say giving birth is labor. Okay, my first son, it took 24 hours for him to come home. All right, and I'm not talking home from the hospital. I'm talking from the womb to the airspace, okay? 24 hours was a difficult labor. I've got 8 children, one's with the Lord. And those 7, I was present for each one. I was also present for a number of other births because I was the only guy that would do it. Because the people who were the fathers were afraid or queasy or whatever. And so I said, no, I'll be glad to help. I'll be glad to. To bring children into the world is a blessing of God, even if it is labor for women. It's a blessing. And when we look at this word labor, the word effort, work, toil, and struggle are all synonyms for labor. Work, toil, struggle, effort. Labor is not something that's easy, but it builds character. It builds strength. The old Webster's Dictionary has a whole lot to say about labor and laboring, and I'm not going to share it all. I just want to share enough so that you get the picture, the big picture. It is exertion of muscular strength or bodily exertion which occasions weariness. Okay, it's going to tire you out. Particularly the exertion of the limbs in occupations by which subsistence is obtained. In other words, subsistence. You're going to feed yourself. You're going to clothe yourself. You're going to take care of you and anybody else that you care to through your labor. This is what Webster says. It says in agriculture or manufacturing, in distinction from exertions of strength in play or amusements. Those are simply called exercise rather than labor. It's toilsome work. Now, think about that. We are co-laborers with God. It's toilsome work, pains, travails, any bodily exertion which is attended with fatigue. You're going to get tired as you're laboring with God. Webster continues by including intellectual exertion, application of the mind, which occasions weariness as the labor of compiling and writing a history, or in the case of yours truly, a sermon. It's work. It's labor. It's a labor of love. It's not work that I shun. It's work that I willingly do because I love God and I love you all. And I want you to have what He has for you from His Word. Webster goes on to say it's the exertion of mental powers united with bodily employment as the labors of the apostles in propagating Christianity. And that's the part we're going to focus on today. Yes, we're celebrating Labor Day for the physical labors of our people here in these United States. But I want us to focus on that aspect that's shown in Scripture. We are all co-laborers with God. And so if you will, open your Bible to the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You've got the pew Bibles there. You can turn to page 768. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 1. And we are going to read through the end of the chapter. And there's one verse that we're going to focus on, but I want you to get the whole context, okay? The verse is verse number 9, That's the one we're going to focus on. So before we go there, let's pray. Almighty Father, we ask that you would break through to us. We need you to open our understanding, Lord. We need you to let us hear today as never before. Let us see and accept your truth. Please touch everyone who's within the sound of my voice, Father. Pour your Spirit over us. Help us to walk with you today and every day. Keep us good workers, Lord. Those that you say, welcome home when the time comes, good and faithful servant. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 23. And I want you to hear the word of the Lord. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? I'm going to pause there for one moment, folks. Who is Wesley? Who is Calvin? We could apply those terms today because those are two names that are dividing the church. But get back. I planted, Paul says. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul and Apollos are ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. As I was preparing for this message, I was reading different versions of the Bible because I enjoy seeing how the translations put it together. And I found one I particularly liked because I thought of John, the roofer. And I thought of myself doing renovations on homes. How that you had to do things right. The foundation had to be right. And you had to build the walls correctly. And then you had to put your floors. And you had to, all of the parts had to be put in place. And this one version put it in those kinds of terms, in construction terms. And I really loved it. So I'm going to read a few verses from that one. Using the gift God gave me as a good architect, I designed blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there's only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. You realize, don't you, that you're the temple of God and God himself is present in you. As co-workers with God, we must not think for a moment that we can slack off and that God isn't going to notice. Okay? That's the reality. We are co-workers with Christ. Referring to himself and Barnabas, Paul said, we are God's fellow workers, God's co-workers, God's co-laborers in the gospel. Now, our titles might be different. You know, the Bible gives several different titles. We're called servants, we're called friends, we're called children, we are called sons of God, we are called ambassadors. But followers of Christ are to be co-laborers, co-laborers with each other, working together, not apart. We are to be unified. We are to be one body under one Lord, serving by one Spirit. We are one church. Regardless of all those divisions that have been placed in and on the church, like a grid work to keep us apart, we are one body. That's what the Word says. We're to work together for and with our Creator. In Romans chapter 16, Paul talks about these people that were laboring with him in the Lord. And he told those in the Roman church to greet them. They co-labored. They have labored in the Lord, he said. And then this one guy, Persis, labored much in the Lord. In several of his letters, Paul called Philemon, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke fellow laborers. And he called Titus and Epaphroditus co-workers. This is in his letters. I'm not going to give you all the references because it's just too much. In Philippians chapter 4, he mentioned the women who labored with him in the gospel, with Clement and the rest of his fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. So, you girls have some work to do too. You can't get out of it. You guys are just the guys. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12, it's written, and we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's written, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Lord is telling us through his word, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. And that gives us a clue in how we are co-laborers with God. God is pleading through us. Allow God to plead through you. Allow God to use you to spill out his word upon all that you encounter because you are a co-laborer with Almighty God. He'll take you and he'll use you. Just let him. Throw your hands up, say, I give up. Put out the white flag, whatever it takes. Tell God you're sorry. Tell him you're not going to mess up anymore. Tell him to help you not to mess up anymore. Tell him to help you spill his word out so that people can come to him. Because you're a co-laborer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. There's a warning there. Jesus said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We're the laborers, folks. Pray for God to send us out into the harvest to collect those souls that he bought and paid for. He said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. This is our work. This is how we collect the souls. We preach the word. We teach the word. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for humanity. And the work that each one of the servants of God has done in the series that we've looked so far, each one of the servants that we've looked at so far in this series, that's the work they were doing. Well, they might have had other courses of employment too. No, it's reputed that Paul was a tent builder. That was part of his laboring. But the laboring that we're talking about here in the scriptures is the laboring for the gospel. And it's over and over and over and over. It's as if somehow we missed this mark. Somehow we've missed it. But it's there. It's so plain. And as I was searching the word and I see we are co-laborers. We are co-workers. We are fellow workers. We are workers with Christ. We are workers with each other. We are workers with God. I realized somehow the church has missed the mark. Because we're not doing it. And I'm not beating you all up. Don't get me wrong. The whole church is guilty. Because if it wasn't, the world would be a different place right now. Let me tell you that. Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. That meat, what is that meat? It's everlasting life. That meat is eternal life with Almighty God. It's the substance that we live for. It's our faith. Romans chapter 12 instructs us, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, somehow we thought this was all some esoteric concept that we don't really have anything physically to do. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for God to expect you to give your life, your body, every bit of you to Him. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Galatians chapter 4, we hear, my little children, for whom, this is Paul speaking to the church in Galatia, he says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again. He brought it into that realm of birthing. This is labor. The work of building the church in Galatia to Paul was labor. He was laboring in birth again because they had slipped. They had missed the mark. Somehow they went off track. They were going the wrong way. And so much of the church has gone the wrong way today, folks. We are going the wrong way. We need to be bringing people in to Almighty God's kingdom. We're charged with that. In Philippians chapter 2, we hear, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Do you think it's ever been more crooked or perverse than it is today? Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Yeah. Did y'all get your light? I give out the light here, folks. You're not going to be hungry for the Word of God. I'll give you the light. He says that you would shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul was concerned that he might have labored in vain over these people, because he was afraid they were falling away. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we read, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. More than once, he was concerned about the souls of the people that he had ministered to, and he was concerned that he had labored in vain because they were falling away. Working with Almighty God is work to be done, which often requires wearisome exertion. But that's not the modern mantra in the church, is it? Come to Jesus. You can live happily ever after with Jesus, right? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we have work to do. And those who are not sending the workers out into the field are going to stand before Almighty God and be judged by a holy God. Read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it outlines heroic achievement by the labors of those who serve God by faith. Read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We call it the hall of faith, the wall of faith. You hear of all these different people that did all kinds of different things, and God says it was by their faith that they did it. And we're to walk by faith, not by sight. That list in Hebrews might seem long to you, but it doesn't name every servant of Almighty God who has labored in His kingdom. It doesn't name all the servants. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it makes it clear that serving as a pastor is laboring. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. You know, I've listened to a lot of messages, folks. I was listening to one this morning about 4:30, 5 o'clock this morning. And I wanted to see how this guy took the text that I used and how he worked it, what he did with it. Two times, I think, in the message, I heard him talk about being co-laborers. The title of the message was co-laborers or co-workers with God. Two times he mentioned it. And all the rest was all this other stuff. I didn't hear much scripture other than the first passage that they read. Now, if you want to feed upon the word of Almighty God, that's where you're going to get your strength. If you want to feed on the words of man, sorry, I can't help you. Paul remembers the believer's work of faith and labor of love in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that. Faith working through love is what really matters, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Faith working through love. Not just faith sitting on a desk somewhere. Not faith just sitting in a book somewhere. It's faith working through love. Therefore, it's written in 1 Corinthians 15, your labor is not in vain. You need to know this when you're bringing the word of God. In the second chapter of James, it tells us faith without works is dead. We don't work for our salvation. We work out of it and toward the salvation of others. Him we preach, we find in Colossians chapter 1, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also, what's the word? Labor. Striving according to his working, which works in me mightily, thus saith the Lord. To the church in Ephesus, we hear in the second chapter of Revelation, Jesus, the one we call Jesus, the Christ, John the Revelator, wrote down his words. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And he's talking to the church. He's not talking to unbelievers. No doubt kingdom building work can be thankless. It can be tiresome. It can be grueling. But our Creator promises his workers, his laborers, rest. And I'm not going to give you everything the Bible says there, but I want to give you enough to show you that there's hope in the picture, okay? It could be our eternal Labor Day celebration. All right? We get an eternal Labor Day celebration. 6 days, the word says in Exodus chapter 20, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day you'll rest. And I think that the eternal seventh day is upon us. I think the spiritual seventh day is upon us, folks. I think we are coming up to the close. I think we're coming to the end here, okay? I really do believe that we're rapidly approaching the seventh day, folks, that day of completion, that day of rest. In Psalm 94, we read, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. Think about that. Who digs the pit? In Revelation 14, we hear, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is recorded as having said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's written, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're celebrating Labor Day. Let's think about that. We are created to work for God. We're created to work with God. In Colossians chapter 3, we hear, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's the promise. Now, I'll quickly wrap this up, and I'm going to remind you of a few key points. I'm not going to cover everything. Labor Day is a yearly national tribute to the contributions that workers have made to the strength and prosperity and well-being of our country. At least that's what it's called. The church sets aside a particular day to recognize some who labor. In the gospel, we call it Pastor Appreciation Day. But not everybody who labors in the gospel gets appreciated. Many faithfully serve in love without recognition, and that's okay. We're not seeking our eternal rewards here. Our rewards are in heaven. The scripture tells us all who lovingly labor to collect the souls that Jesus Christ bought and paid for, all of those who labor, they have rewards in heaven. But that's not why we do it. That's not why I'm asking you all to do it, because you have a promise of labor rewards. You're going to get paid in heaven. That's not why I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to do it out of love. I'm asking you to do it out of faith. I'm asking you to do it because the Bible says you're to do it. Jesus said, go into all the world. Labor, as Paul calls it, for the gospel. In Hebrews chapter 6, we hear, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God's not going to forget what you've done for him. It's not like people forget. How many times have you done some good stuff for somebody and they forget all about it when it comes time to you needing some help? Okay. Now, each and every one of us could raise our hands. I know we could. I know we could. I was there for them. Why aren't they there for me? God's not going to forget. If you co-labor with him, you do get rewarded. That's not what's the motivation. Our motivation is love. Our motivation is faith. We receive rewards, but we would do what we do even if we didn't, because we love him who first loved us. We love him, and so we labor for him, and we labor with him. And this year, as you grill your hot dogs and close your pools, or just relax on Labor Day, think about Christ who labored for your soul to be saved. And invite whosoever will come to receive eternal life. Invite them. Invite them here. Tell them to come here to receive the word of Almighty God, to have their souls fed. Tell them. They too can receive that precious gift that you've received. We're all co-laborers with Christ. And we need to be busy about that work as the window closes, because the opportunity for entrance is getting smaller, folks. And at some point in time, the door is going to be shut, just like the door on the ark. Shaboom! And that's going to be the end. There'll be no more entrance. Nobody else will get in. And if you don't deliver the message that you've been given to deliver, Ezekiel tells us something about that. He says, you're going to be held accountable for that too. To him that knows to do right and doesn't, to him it's sin. Now, y'all know what to do. I've told you. And I can say like Paul, my hands are clean because I've not shunned to share the whole message with you. I pray that you'll take it and you'll run with it, that you'll do what God wants you to do. You'll be his laborer. You will labor with him and for him. That's my solemn prayer. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are your co-laborers. We're your workmanship created in Christ for good works. We've been raised in Christ. Help us to seek those things which are above. Help us to set our minds on the things above, not on the things of the earth, Lord. You know that we've died and our life is hidden in Christ with you. Give us strength, Lord. Give us strength to bring the message to others. Your word says, whosoever will come may. So, Lord, help us to be those who deliver the message to whosoever will. Help us, Lord, to know that you're not unjust to forget our work and our labor of love, which we've shown toward your name. Help us to minister, Lord. Help us to minister, I pray, in Jesus' name. Help us to be co-workers together and with you. Amen. All right, John, will you go get Connie? Because she wanted to be back in for our the rest of the service. We're going to open our hymnals to number 439. Number 439, great old hymn. Not that I have anything against new music, some of it anyway. Number 439, and we're going to sing Work, for the Night is Coming. Number 439, and if you can stand, please stand as we sing number 439.